Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Rosalie from Logan here. Hello.
Okay, I'll keep positive and upbeat. It's a great thing to welcome it to the new year. Rosalie, how are you?
I'm pissed off. Oh. I'm laughable. I'm absolutely beside myself.
What?
There I am. Oh, yeah, dedicating myself for you. Keeping myself nice for you. You think I like getting a full body whack every 2 days? Because, my goodness, I'm hirsute. I'm like a Rambi, that gorilla that met an untimely end. But I can tell you something.
What?
How do you think Rosalie feels when I pick up my copy of the Courier Mail and there it is in the middle?
What?
Robert Bailey to join Greg Martin in the morning every single morning. Who is this woman?
I didn't realize you had ambitions.
Is she prettier than me?
Oh, well.
Is she younger than me?
Yeah, yep.
Does she send you the types of photographs that I send you?
Not yet.
Do you know how much yoga I have to do in order to get my body in that position? They've got to use the jaws of life to get my legs back down.
Okay. Now, listen, I think I made it clear I don't have any desire towards you.
Desire, eh? You want to talk about desire?
I said none.
I got a desire, young man. First things first. We get rid of that wife of yours.
Okay.
She's now, as far as I'm concerned, she's now third in line. Yeah? And then what we do is we get this Robin Bailey, yeah? We get her down to Rosalie's bunker. We have a couple of West Coast coolers.
Yes.
Put on the lava lamp and see what happens. What do you reckon, baby?
You are freaky.
Yeah. I understand you've got tickets to the CUA pool deck.
Yeah, we're giving them away to listeners.
For the Brisbane Heat.
We're giving them away to listeners.
I tell you who's got some Brisbane Heat. In her pool deck, your old friend Rosalie.
Okay.
I got a brand new swimsuit.
Right.
It's made of string and it dissolves in water. Oh, goodness.
That's enough.
I'll see you there, baby.
Yeah, I don't know. When Robin comes on, I don't know whether we'll be talking.
Well,
anymore.
When Robin comes on, eh?
that's more than enough.
Let
thanks,
it go.
Rosalie.
There you go.
Glad to have her back.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this just for you for listening right now. Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Well, Ed, remember I told you yesterday about the cab ride that I got 2 days ago, and the cabbie said my dad's out from India and I'd love to go to the and see the Heat play on Friday night. Is there anything you can help? I can help you, you know, and everything else. Taryn, meet Ed. Ed, Taryn.
Hi, Ed. Hello. How are you?
Hello, mate.
We brought him in. Now, and what was the deal we asked him for yesterday? We can get you two tickets to the cricket.
Yes, you did. Now, what was the swap, Taryn? What did Marto say he wanted in return?
Yeah, it's chicken curry. I bring already. I give him.
Papadums
you brought
as well.
It in. It's
no, papadums.
No, it's papadums. You know, I need to make now, and I have no time.
Oh, you got to have them straight.
Yeah, no. I make chicken curries at night time. Now it's good, but you need to order fresh naan or rice or salad.
Taryn,
as well.
Don't worry about it. Don't let him press you on that. You brought in a chicken curry. Now, who made that? It looks absolutely beautiful. Who made that chicken curry? Was it you?
No, my wife.
Oh, your wife.
I just help
Is it
her.
Butter chicken, Tarrant?
Yeah, it's a butter chicken.
Oh, my God. Look at this.
That is absolutely
Are you sure you made this?
Yeah, no, my wife made this.
But you didn't go to the takeaway?
No. No, man. It's not takeaway.
How dare you?
No, no, no takeaway.
That's what I would have done.
Not takeaway. If he's come takeaway, definitely come with naan or other things.
Oh, my God. What's That's your wife's name?
Mandeep Kaur.
Mandeep Kaur. Can you thank her very much? We don't normally ask listeners for food, but Jesus. All right. Well, my part of the deal.
Hand them over.
The tickets have just come out of the pocket.
New Delhi? Your dad's from New Delhi? No.
No, we are from Haryana. It's a small state. It's near the New Delhi.
Okay.
He's near the New
How
Delhi.
Long have you been here?
Around 9 years.
And a bloody good cab driver too. Yeah. You knew exactly where you were going the other day. Hey, on behalf of Triple M and some curry eaters, fans who are going to enjoy this very shortly, here are your two tickets to tonight's Brisbane Heat. Sold
thank
out.
Thank you very much.
This is fantastic.
Triple M is the best radio station in the Brisbane, all over Australia. Yeah!
We'll take it. Thank you very, thank you very much.
I am every time listening in my cab, Triple M. That's it.
What a guy.
You know?
It's a revolution.
Yeah.
That was all right. You have fun at the cricket, Marto. You're going to start dishing out that curry. It smells and looks absolutely delicious. Taryn, have fun at the cricket, mate. And the next time, if you're in a cab, and you've got to remember that Marto is a former cabbie. If you're in a cab and Marto gets in, just start asking for things. So long as someone in your family can cook, you should be right.
We might see you next Friday. Do you like the Broncos or the Reds? Do you like footy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I'm really not follow footy. We are a cricket fan. But my father here, he really want to watch how you play that silly game. How you eat each other.
All right, well, so lamb korma for that silly game.
Yeah, here we go. He's got a taste for it. That was the weirdest transaction I've ever seen. It's Marto and Ed Cavalli for breakfast on Triple M. Thanks, Taryn.
Thanks, man.
Marto, the inauguration of Donald J. Trump is taking place. I believe it's tomorrow morning our time at 3 a.m.
Oh, do I care?
Well, of course you do. He's the leader of the free world. Channel 9's going with it. And Laura Turner, who is the intrepid reporter over there in the States for Channel 9, joins us now. Laura, how excited are you to be at the Trump inauguration?
I am very, very excited, guys. Good morning to you. I'm right in the middle now of a big crowd of Trump supporters here in Washington, D.C. They've descended on this great city just to see the welcoming of the new president, Donald Trump, who... We know we'll be president number 45 here in the United States.
Right. Laura, you were there for the election, etc. Can you talk us through what's happened since then? And is the excitement, I keep on hearing, they're dying down, they don't like him, a lot of people, or is it just the same?
Where do I start on what's happened since the election? First of all, Donald Trump promised that he wouldn't tweet anymore, and there's been about 6,755 tweets from him since then. A lot of them having a go at different people. Other than his tweets, there's been all sorts of appointments of different people who he's going to put into office, the types of people who he promised he wouldn't, billionaires and people from Wall Street and all that sort of thing. And as you mentioned, the opinion polls are not good. He is the least liked incoming president in history now here in the US. He has approval rating of just 40%. So he's up against it with the people already, and he's not even president yet.
What's interesting about it, though, Laura, is that he walks into a situation almost opposite to the one that Obama did, whereas Obama had a skyrocketing of a popular opinion poll, but he didn't control the House and he didn't control the Senate, so he basically couldn't get anything done. Whereas Donald Trump doesn't have a very good popular opinion, but he's got it. He's got the people he needs in the houses to go and do the things he wants to do.
He can do whatever he likes. That's right. It's That's funny because Obama had an approval rating of about 85% or something when he came into office. They had a crowd here of about 2 million on the inauguration day. This time around, it's 40%, and they're expecting about 900,000 people here. So they're calling it what might be Washington's smallest party, which is a little bit depressing given that, with the new president, lots of people have, hopes and dreams and things. But,
yes, they do. Yeah. Laura Turner, Channel 9 reporter at the inauguration for Donald Trump. Who ended up being the performers that he landed? Because it was a list that was going lower and lower. Who did he end up with?
Well, the latest band to pull out was the Bruce Springsteen cover band.
Oh, the cover band?
What?
Yes. But he does have three doors down.
Yeah.
Remember them?
No.
Yeah, they're going to be at the concert that we're just waiting to start here in the next couple of hours.
Isn't the Beach Boys playing as well, Laura? I think the Beach Boys are playing.
No, well, that was a hot rumour around the United States, but we have not seen any sign of any pastel-coloured trousers in the last couple of days, so I do not think that they're going to be here.
Hey, Laura, am I hearing the day after there's going to be a million people attend a protest in Washington, D.C. as well?
Yes, so that is actually getting more attention at the moment than anything else, but the protest for the next day. They originally called it a million women marching, but it's actually going to be not a million. It'll be a few hundred thousand, and certainly that it's getting a lot of attention at the moment, especially on social media, people saying that they're going. Lots of women knitting specific pink beanies. I'm actually looking at two right now. Are called pussycat beanies, and I won't go any further with that. And they're actually going on all around the world. There's going to be one in California and in the UK as well, and all different countries. So it's not just going to be here in Washington the day after the inauguration. It's going to be all around the world. It's going to be quite the sea of faces in opposition.
Laura, all right, Laura Turner, Channel 9 reporter in the United States for the Trump inauguration. America is nice and divided, just the way they like it these days. Couldn't be. That's what a great thing for the global economy, that America all hates each other. That's just wonderful. Thank you so much. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
This time last week, I think, they launched the new lamb ad for Australia Day, which has been going forever with Sam Kekovich, and he's been in here on occasions pumping it all up. This year, of course, they've gone, righto, let's get rid of Kekovich. Although I reckon I saw him when they said the Serbians are here. You know, do you know the ad I'm talking about where they all come onto the beach with the indigenous guys started and then everyone came?
Yeah. Mm.
Alright, yeah, so everyone knows the ad.
By the way, yes.
It was Sam Kekovich. Yes. They said the Serbs are even here. It was Sam Kekovich. It was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Alright, so his role is now minimal. So what's happened with that lamb ad? I went the first time I saw it, I showed Kath, I went, geez, that's a beauty. That's incredible. So clever and creative. Then I watched it a couple other times. I went, hold on. This is like everything else in the world. The show ponies have got hold of this and they've bent over backwards not to offend anybody. This isn't about Australia Day. I didn't realise there's not one Australia flag. Tasmania is not even on the map of Australia. You know how they go, you have a look at the next time you have a look at it. They go, they fade out and show Australia on the whole globe. Tasmania is not even on the whole
thing. Is that a thing they're trying to do?
I don't know. Well, you know how they go through. Those blokes, people who make ads, go through those things with a fine-tooth comb and go, how clever are we? And they had this. They had the vegans. They've got everyone there.
Sure.
Let's face facts. They haven't made, you remember the Chinese? I reckon they've actually been racist in some parts of it. The Chinese bring in the explosives. They haven't sold fireworks in Fish Week for 10 years. Like, you have a look through that ad, there's a lot of things that they've missed out. And then I see last night on Facebook comes through the Bogan version of that ad. I can't play it, obviously. You can't see it. But I'll give you some of the, this guy's taken over the whole thing and dropped as to say the only mob that's been forgotten in that lamb ad are Australians. That's a Bogan Australians. Have a listen to him.
Right. How is this new bloody Australia Day Eat Lamb ad an all-inclusive celebration of diversity when it doesn't even include one of the most vilified groups in Australia? Us Bogans.
That's right. Well, they are vilified every time they do anything wrong.
He's missed that because, first of all, a Bogan that he's impersonating there with that voice, he wouldn't
doesn't
know
exist.
The word vilified. Okay, let's keep going. Yes.
Yes. Well, he goes on with this is missing.
In a cast of thousands, there's not one bloke wearing an Australian flag as a cape. In fact, there's not even one Australian flag in the entire commercial. It's as though we're trying to appease every bloody nationality that ever come here, including the Brazilians, as we can't even show our map of Tassie.
All right, so I know they've gone overboard, but that's when I went back and had a look at the ad and went, actually Tasmania is missing. The big point is that these are the people that got Brexit, that voted for Brexit, the masses of people that voted for Trump, and the people that vote for Pauline Hanson are not included in this ad. You've got to be very careful, all these ad makers, because they're being so bending over so far backwards to make everybody happy that they're forgetting the masses of people are not the ones they're appealing to.
Well, there's going to be a... What you get is... Well, you know, this is the... It depends what you're sort of making something for. If you're making something so that people on, you know, on social media go, oh my God, I cried when
that's
I
who
saw
they're making
insert,
it for.
Insert thing here.
That's
yes.
right. The vegans. That is the, what percentage the, of the population are vegans? Yet somehow they got a run in the ad too.
The modern day divide is sort of, we're learning that it's sort of between that. It's between the people that go online and tell everyone exactly how they feel and follow their bliss versus people who sort of go, I don't have time for that. I've got to go and...
And those people, the second lot of people, they get to vote every few years, and that's where the surprises are going to keep on occurring. And they also eat lamb, but maybe not anymore. Why don't we all eat prawns and tell lamb to shove it this year?
Okay. Oh, wow. Prawn lobby's got, the prawn lobby's got to you.
I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I know, they got white spot, haven't they?
This is it. The Big Bash has officially taken over as the number one sporting pastime of the summer. Marto, the perfect complement to the test matches. It's taken over from the tennis. We're seeing that every day now. It gets more and more popular, the BBL. And,
and why has it gotten so good? Because of Linsanity.
Yes, because Chris Lynn from the Brisbane Heat, still in the top three, I believe, run scorers, even though he hasn't played in the last few games. He's been hitting them out, quite literally, out of the park for the Heat. And he joins us now. G'day, Linny.
Good morning, lads. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, my friend. Now, listen, you're out with what if you've got a neck nerve problem? What's that about?
Yeah, so I've had a bulge in the disc on my neck maybe the last 5 weeks. Oh. But I only really had a scan maybe last week. So we found out what the issue was, and it's pushing against the nerve. So that's actually thought it was in my shoulder, but it's the referring pain from the disc. So it's an ideal, but... look, the boys will do well tonight.
No, the boys won't do as well as they could do with you. When are you coming back? That's all anyone wants to know. Will you be back? If so, we win tonight, we're definitely into the home. We got a home semi. Will you be back in time for that, or the final, or is, has Buff Lehman said you cannot play for a month?
Well, they said the surgeon said about 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh.
But look, you can.
What would he know?
If the Heat make a final, I'm going to say there's a small percentage chance I might be able to play.
Yeah.
But small percentage, but it's better than none, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is better than none. And also, Linny, I know we, because I've, you know, we've seen you off air. IPL. Now, where's that at, mate? And when are you going in the auction? Are you still got a contract? Because I remember you're on a contract for a while there. Where it was like you were going off, and your team rang you, and they're like, "Hey, good news is we've already got you on contract. You don't get to go to the auction and make millions of dollars." So that's good news, isn't it? Is that still the case, buddy?
Yeah, so same news again. So I've been retained another year for the Kolkata Knight Riders.
Yeah. Can you get a new manager, mate? This is ridiculous.
it's funny because they retained it just before the Big Bash starts. So at that point in time, I was pretty happy. But 4 weeks down the track, you're thinking, no, what have I done?
you could go around the world playing in the Caribbean. I think Bangladesh has got one. South Africa's got a T20 competition. We've got ours. You could be a full-time, round-the-world T20 player. Would you rather that, which you are the best in the world, or are you still keen? Like, where's your ambition with Australia? Do you ever want to play test cricket? I know you started playing the one day.
It is a touchy subject for a lot of cricketers around Australia.
Yeah.
Especially as you mentioned, with all the opportunities you get around the world just to play T20 cricket. One, it's financially benefiting. Two, it's easier on the body. It's totally up to the individual. And from my point of view, obviously making my ODI debut was great. Hopefully get a few more opportunities there, but in terms of test cricket stuff, I don't know. I haven't really played that much Shield cricket over the last 3 seasons. I've got good numbers and stats and all that, but because I haven't played as much as I'd like, then you can't really throw your hat in the ring. But I've had plenty of opportunity with the whiteboard and the T20 stuff, so. And I've done all right the last couple of tournaments. So.
Oh, you've done better than all right. Linny, my wife was watching you the other day. We were watching together, and she's a bit of an athlete, and she was impressed by your physique. And I asked her, how would you describe Chris Lynn's physique? And she looked at you for a while, because you're quite tall and you're long, but you're muscly, but you're not bulging. Jeez, it's all in proportion.
Yeah.
And this was her words, not mine. And I said, okay. Well, how would you describe him? And she said, I would describe him as a greyhound standing on its hind legs that had been shaved. That's a compliment.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not much to me, but It's certainly working, that's for sure.
Yeah, she just meant that you were perfectly, you were long, you had long limbs, and it was all in proportion. That's a compliment.
Well, as long as it's in proportion, I guess, eh?
Now, Lenny, how are you going to go as a spectator tonight? Do you have any role to play?
I'm an awful watcher of cricket. I get probably, I try and get too involved in the game when, you know, obviously when I'm not playing, but I'll get out to the ground. I'll probably, the park behind the nets there, I'll spend a bit of time out there with the fans coming along, and then I'll get in and do a bit of media stuff and whatnot. But I try and get around the boys, just try and give them whatever experience I've got.
Give us one tip. I read the other day, this is just for any kids who are still playing cricket. What's your tip to hit the ball as hard as you can? I think you kept your eyes level and you keep your head still. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's as simple as I can put it. You give yourself the best advantage if you're obviously you've got a level head, a still head, and then just try and whack it, I suppose. Like utilize your legs when you're swinging through the ball. Yeah, but most importantly, you got to have fun with it. It's you don't want to go out there dwelling, that opportunity. If you go out there, jump on the front foot and really enjoy it and have some fun, then it's surprising how much or how many times the ball bounces, the ball goes your way.
Love it. All right, Lenny. Chris Lynn, mate, we'll speak to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Jen.
Cheers, mate. You know when you're dealing with people in your life and they change, Romato, they change and you go, something's wrong. And you ask them, what is it? And finally they tell you, right? There's someone close to me in my life who has asked to remain nameless, who has given up coffee.
Yeah. Is that a strange thing to give up? Like this time of year, I understand people stopping smoking and drinking. And
it was a New Year's resolution. And it came after, that's it, they decided that they'd been reading on the internet, of course, and they were researching, they call it, which is just reading the internet. Mm. And they decided that they were having too many coffees. It was affecting their up, down, and they were waking up in the morning, and if they didn't have a coffee by a certain time, they were getting headaches.
That's everybody, isn't it?
That's right. And I said, yeah, what's your point? That's how you know you're awake. And they said, no, that tells me that I'm addicted and I don't want to live in this addiction, so I'm giving up coffee. And the only reason I know because they were just grumpy. Just
what does
grumpy
it do to you? What did it do to them?
Grumpy, annoying, headaches, and then just looking around for some other substitute. And I thought to myself, why would you put yourself through this?
You've told me before, I'm not a coffee drinker, but it doesn't do anything bad to you if you don't drink more than a few a day.
Yeah, it's about three a day.
Is it the milk and sugar's the problem?
That's right. When you do too many, when you have too many with the milk and the sugar, that's when you put on weight. But if you're having, two a day or whatever it is, like it's just an enjoyable drink.
I saw, the Australian rugby coach, Michael Checker, the big unit. He went one night, we said, are you all right? You look a bit, he was twitchy, which is strange. He also gave up coffee and he made all the other coaches, members of the coaching team of the Australian team, they weren't so happy. One of them's an Argentinian. You imagine how he goes with coffee. He made them all give up along with him. I think they all went back onto the coffee, but as far as I know, I haven't seen him in the last couple of months, he gave up coffee, but he didn't want it controlling his moods, he said, because he was always looking forward to the next coffee to get him going,
I had no idea that it was so, how do I put, like that it was such a big, that was what was going on with this person, that it was such a big deal.
And as a child, you're obviously better friends of him than I am of Checker, but have you seen this guy or girl?
Yeah.
It has actually changed? So are they functioning better as the days go on?
I don't think better. I'm not seeing anything better. I'm seeing, less headaches or whatever, but I'm not seeing any improved performance. I'm not seeing any kind of great insights or any more clarity or anything like that. They're not staying up 10 hours longer and achieving 10 hours more stuff. It just seems as though it's gone from their life and for no real reason.
Why did they do it? They thought it would.
Yeah. Research, internet.
I've never seen anything about that. Has anyone else done this? Like, I really understand the health benefits of giving up drinking and smoking. Of course, they're well documented. But coffee?
I'd love to know. This is why I'm saying, because that's why I bring it up with you, and that's why we're lucky we can ask other people, because I was like, I started saying, you're being ridiculous. This is ridiculous. You're giving up coffee for no reason, and look at the effect it's having.
Well, it must be other people. If we know one person each, I'm sure there's someone else has done it.
If you have given up coffee, or if you've had to live or deal with someone at work or at home or something that has given up coffee, What has that been like for you? How has it affected your life? So Mark from Macleay Island. Mark, have you given up coffee, buddy?
I have reduced it. Coffee is a great trigger for when you're when you're anxious and you're suffering from depression. Ooh. It really magnifies it like tenfold.
Oh, okay. Now, how many were you having?
I was having about 8 cups of coffee a day, but I used to have triple espressos, so triple shots.
Ooh. So 8 times 3, Marto, what's that?
24.
24 shots of coffee a day, Mark. Were you just buzzing the whole time, mate?
Pretty much so, because I had crappy hours as a chef and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, you're a chef as well.
I was, but I got out of it. But the point was, it's when you're depressed, you feel down, and when you got caffeine stimulus and it's like alcohol, it just really magnifies it tenfold. And then you're wondering why you feel so worse at it.
So you're feeling better?
Oh, I'm great. I've cut down to 1 cup of coffee a day. And then I have like a blitz juice or like fruit and berries and all that sort of stuff just to poke me up through the day. But that's it. I still have my coffee. I don't get the headaches anymore because the headaches were a massive contributor as well. And your blood pressure and your metabolism changes too.
And you're sleeping well.
And I'm sleeping well. Yeah, absolutely. So
good job, mate. That's been good for you.
Tell your friend to keep your coffee going, but just reduce it just to 1 a day, or at least 1 to 2 a day, and then let it wean itself off it.
Hey, when do you have the one, Mark? What time of the day?
Right now in the morning, my first thing for the day, and that coffee lasts me the entire duration of the day. So I have those travel mugs while I work.
Yeah, yeah.
And then basically I just go for a sip while in between jobs, because I work in a factory. I stretch that whole coffee out for the entire day.
You're a good news story. That's a good one.
All right. Good job, Mark. That's a very good effort. Congrats. Here comes Michael from Stafford.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, you've given up coffee as well, mate.
Yeah. I had given it up. I'm back on it now, but it was the same thing. It was the caffeine level really hitting the stress hormones. So basically you get a lot of adrenaline release, and then it can play on, like the first caller said, your anxiety and everything else that can go with it. But then the other thing is caffeine lasts in your system for about 6 hours. So if you are having it later in the afternoon, then sleeping at night then again affects it as well.
I'm the same, mate. Michael, I cannot have a coffee after about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, even though I'm tired. You know, we're getting up early for work. I can't have one, mate. I won't be able to get to sleep.
Well, Ed, what happens to those people that I see have dinner and then they have a really strong coffee? What do they do?
Some people aren't, Michael, you know this. Some people just aren't affected by caffeine the same way, are they?
Yeah, that's the thing. And the more, it's kind of like alcohol as well. The more and more that you have, you kind of reduce the effect that you're getting from it. So then you need to have more to get that same effect.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, thanks, Michael.
Mate.
Appreciate that.
Hey, Paul from Carindale. Is it about your wife, mate?
It is, yes.
What's her story?
Okay, she used to drink a minimum, and I'm talking sometimes more, sometimes less, but minimum 10 double shots a day.
Yeah, well,
Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, she is a Buddhist. She went into a Buddhist retreat about 4 years ago, not to give up coffee, but just to, you know, do whatever, but you can't have coffee. She was quite concerned. What am I going to do? I said, no, don't worry. It'll be fine. She came out. I made her a coffee. She stared at it, didn't touch it. She has not had coffee since.
Well, she meditated herself out of the desire for coffee, Paul.
Well, I wouldn't say she meditated out of it. It was for a completely different thing, but just not having coffee. And now she can't even stand the smell of it. She hates it.
Whoa. Have you noticed health benefits?
Absolutely. Her health is greatly improved. I mean, she was very jittery before, heart palpitation.
I bet she was.
Yeah, it was.
Why did she need 10 double shots? Was it her job stressing her out or what?
Oh, well, she had, you know, 4 kids and she was just, you know, she had working 3 jobs at one point and
Wow.
She needed the energy. She was looking for, that's amazing.
All right, you've watched that from close up, Paul. Would you recommend everyone cut down their coffee each day?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There we go, Marto. So that's what we're mainly getting, isn't it? People saying, look, you can have, there's an excess that you can have, or you can just have a couple and it seems to be okay.
Well, I can't comment. I'm one of those people who doesn't drink coffee at all.
Also, Dan's given us a call too, gave up 2 years ago and he had no more migraines after that.
Something to it.
It's like there's a drug in it or something. This is weird.
A huge upset at the Australian Open, and you should never predict anything. I think it was only yesterday you said, let's all stop watching because it'd be Murray and Djokovic in the final, as it always is, and there's no need to look, and that's the end of it. Around 5:30, 6 o'clock last night, Djokovic beaten in 5 sets. by a journeyman who had really good sunnies on. He had a good fluoro headband and good sunnies, this Dennis Isterman. But you know what's happened after the game? Because everyone's always going, well, what happened there? They're turned on each other. The Djokovic camp are all going, he's gone nutso. Yeah, they're always looking for those one percenters. Yes. Apparently, he's been using an all-liquid diet, just looking for the edge. Remember, he went gluten-free about three years ago, and cut all his fat out, and he looked fabulous. Yeah. Now he's looked to take it to the next level, and they reckon he didn't have enough strength to go to the five sets.
He's got the liquid diet. I don't know if there's anyone who's number one in the world at a sport on a liquid diet.
That's right.
Maybe darts or different kind of liquid. Hey, Brendo, but you were watching and you text me last night and you go, did you just see that humble brag? And I said, no, I'm too busy watching Steve Smith and his headband get the job done. What did you say? What is this?
You know, I love when Uzbekistan is on show on the world stage and when their people perform. And I was right behind him. I really wanted him to win. And then I heard him talk.
Is this Isterman?
Yeah, maybe he was a little bit up himself. Have a go.
First of all, I feel sorry for Novak. I was playing so good today. I mean, I surprised myself as well today.
He knew he was on.
I love when people surprise themselves.
That's fantastic. I feel sorry for Novak.
Yes.
I also feel sorry for bookmakers. I know that under the table, millions of dollars lost.
I do give you a bit of Big Bash controversy. Combine the two. Cricket Australia, you know, they got that integrity unit that looks into things. They're investigating an on-air exchange the other night in the Big Bash game. You know, they had that Mark Howard, Howie, as they call him. He was in the commentary team. And they had Brad Hodge, who's the captain of the Adelaide team. He was mic'd up. I think Mark Waugh was on commentary that night.
Okay.
And so Hodge is mic'd up. And Shane Watson is batting, okay? So Hodge is the captain of the fielding team, bowling team.
Yep.
Shane Watson's bowling. The batting. Mark Howard's come up. Well, obviously, what do you call the guy who does the stats? The stats guy's tapped him on the shoulder and he said, in the last few innings, Ben Lachlan, has gotten out Shane Watson two times in the last eight balls that he's bowled to him.
Okay.
Howard's then let's have a listen to how it went on air.
And just before we let you go, Hodgie, our master statistician Laurie Colliver tells us that Lachlan has got Watson twice in the last eight balls he's bowled him in the competition. So I'll leave that with you, Skipper.
Oh, I'll bring him on next over then. Benny!
All right, that's the power of our stats.
Let's get him into the game. Next over, bud.
Dodgy! That's what happened. He swung Lachlan into the attack next over. Didn't get Watson out. But what do we know about IPL and Big Bash? T20 is one of the largest gambling operations in India.
Oh, my gosh.
This, I know it's great. It's funny, you know, talking to commentators, talking to blokes on the field. But this is, mate, this is the stuff that, remember the bookmakers, John the bookmaker offered Mark Waugh, you know, just tell us who's going to be in the 11 and we'll give you a few thousand dollars. This is the tip of the iceberg. This might be the end of this on-field
The mic'd up players. live stats. Well, look, you know what? You can relate to this, Manu, because you're a commentator on Fox Sports, you're a former Wallaby, and let's just say that you were commentating a game of rugby union between All Blacks and the Wallabies, and one of the Wallaby players was mic'd up, and you went to them and you said, listen, mate, I've just had a look at the stats, and we never beat these blokes, so why don't we just go home now?
Yeah, inside information. I think that one's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
Marto, the big news in your family is that you are getting yourself a new family dog. Sadly, your dog passed away, and now you're going to get yourself a brand new family dog. Now
I'd never brought this up on radio, Ed.
Why?
Because I've now received from mates and people who have my phone number, I've now received approximately 20 photos of their dog. Everyone loves their dog so much. I've got boxers, I've got beagles, I've got corgis, I've got staffies. Right. I've got, and they're all so beautiful. People live for their dogs. Yes, I've made the decision, if you missed it yesterday, I'm going to get a working dog, either a mix of a Kelpie, Border Collie / cattle dog. We've got them all at home on the computer going through them all. And here's the latest problem. Because it's being driven by my wife and my daughter, Kath and Hillary, they're getting together and they want a puppy. They want the one, the back one on the left there. Ring Doris or Gladys, whatever her name was. Oh, hi, Gladys. What have you got left? And they'll have one. We've got a little female called Patsy. Oh, crikey. We don't want, I told them, I don't want crying and I don't want crapping. I want a working, a working dog that's maybe 4 months old, like one of those rescue dogs that they couldn't get rid of all the puppies in the litter. I want them 4 months on when they've gotten through all that and hardened up a bit.
You say that, but your wife and daughter, that's a voting block. They want a puppy. I had a someone that Tiff works with. They got themselves a puppy, and then they had to, whenever they were out on a job, the dog had to come with a bed and a pee mat. And it was like one of the cars was just filled with stuff for this puppy. But the female in the relationship, there was a guy and a girl who'd bought the puppy together. She was just so enamored with this puppy.
They hadn't had children, had they?
Well, no.
My wife shouldn't carry on like this. She's had babies. Like, that's great. You've achieved the greatest thing in life. You don't need to do it with a dog. Like that's a warm-up thing before you have a child. So we don't need puppies. We just need to get on with the job of having a beautiful dog.
It's not about need, mate. It's about want. And so we're going to let's put it to the people. Do you get yourself a puppy? That way you can mould it in your image from day dot.
No, you don't. Don't lead people. Are there any benefits to getting a puppy over a semi-mature, like a 4 or 5 or 6 month old dog? Because there's so many of them. And there's people who've fixed their dogs up. They've been wormed. They've been dissected. Mm. They've been everything.
Right. Brett from the Gold Coast. Adult dog or puppy? Which should he get?
You've got to go and get an adult one.
What happened with you, buddy? Is that what you did?
Yeah, I got one from down the coast from the Animal Welfare League. She's a Staffy Cross Ridgeback.
Yeah.
And she is the best dog ever. Loves the water. You take her down the beach, she chases all the little fish on the edge of the water for hours. It's a head right under the water. Frisbee, ball. You tell her to go outside and do a pee, and she does it. She's awesome.
She was job ready when you picked her up.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about it. There's no digging. There's no nothing. And, she's just an awesome dog.
Way to go, okay. Brett.
Good on you, Brett. So there we go. So it's already trained. There you go, Marta. These were the pluses for adults so far. Yeah. Already trained, no chewing, ready to go.
The toilet training's a huge one. I can remember. They're trying to get dog poo out of carpet.
Simon is from Rosewood. Puppy or adult dog, Simon?
Puppy by far.
Oh. We got a puppy, man. Why?
Why? Because a dog is essentially a pack animal. So you need to have that puppy in bed with you, treat it like a baby so that it clings to you and it becomes that much better of a dog because it gets that bonding time, which it really needs to be a difference between a dog or a mutt. Yep.
Okay, that's very, very interesting, Simon. So, Simon, how big a puppy did you have in your bed?
Staffy, but okay, so that's 4 or 5 months old. She gets kicked out of the bed.
How did that night go?
Oh, nah. Couple of nights of whinging and it's all over.
Righto. Is it an outside or inside dog, Simon?
It's both.
Righto.
It's outside when it's in trouble, which isn't very often.
Okay, that's interesting.
I like that theory.
All right, here comes Melissa from Bell Bird Park. Melissa, adult dog or puppy, what does he get?
Okay, we had both. So we had two cattle dogs. We got one at 4.5 months old and one as a puppy. I will say at 4.5 months old, they are toilet trained, this and that, and they're still little enough where you can still imprint on them. So that is a bonus of getting something between 4 to 6 months as opposed to a little puppy where you go through the whinging and the whining and all of that.
Melissa, did you hear Simon? Have you got to sleep with them to bond with them?
Hell no. My husband, our dogs are outside dogs, but they have a two-bedroom cubby house. Yeah. It's their pet palace, and they have beds and toys and everything, and they have the roam of half an acre at the back.
Well, there's another thing, Melissa. You've got half an acre, which is great for dogs, but people living closer to the city or whatever, the size of the dog, and then whether or not it's going to... I used to have a friend once who got a boxer, and it just used to dig. It used to just dig until it could get out, from when it was young. But they got it as, like, not a puppy, Marto. So I think it was already diggy when they got it. It already had that habit inside it.
Ask Melissa one last chance. So you've had both, Melissa. What would you do if you only had to get one dog? Would you get a puppy or get a more mature dog?
I would do the older one again as a rescue because even though we had a few issues with her being abused, we still had time to turn her into a beautiful dog. And she's now 6 years old.
Did you notice the dog? Like, I am leaning towards the rescue dog. Did you notice it was grateful?
Oh, definitely. Look, I mean, they love you. They do look at your yard. They look at this and that when you do get a rescue dog. So you do get assessed. But I think it means a lot more. Like, I mean, we love our little puppy too. But, you know, when it's a rescue, you know, she was sort of like 2 days away from being put down when we got her. You know, if we hadn't taken her, she probably would have been put down. So she's got a beautiful life with us.
Oh, good one.
That way.
Thank you, Melissa, Brendo. Their calls are coming in thick and fast. Give me some results, please, my friend.
Put this on your pie chart. Yeah, Marto, take it home. 65% say adult dog.
Righto.
I think there's the puppy lobby. I don't know. They'll make a comeback, mate. They are strong, the puppy lobby.
The puppy lobby is at home, mate. Yeah, it's all right.
But you've got data now, my friends. So,
yes, that's right. That's what I wanted, scientific evidence.
You are set.
Cop that, you two.
No one in this studio is hairist, are they? Everyone okay? I don't mind people growing hair.
All right, do whatever you want. Yeah, I don't care.
No one in this studio has a man bun. No one has long hair, ponytail style. There's none of that gear. No. See Steve Smith last night. I hate blokes who wear things in their hair.
He had a headband on because he was wearing a headband. That's the only way to describe it. It was black.
I didn't get to the bottom of it. Why did he have that on? He was blaming Adam Zampa. Did you get?
Yeah, because Adam Zampa, the sort of mop-haired spin bowler, he wears it to sort of keep the out of his eyes, which is what a headband does. But it doesn't look great.
And he had a helmet on.
Yeah, but then he put a helmet on. I think there was some issue with the helmet, the front of his fringe dropping down under the helmet into his eyes.
Could you imagine Mark Taylor wearing a headband?
Yes,
could you imagine Alan Border?
Mark Taylor did wear a headband.
What?
I believe he wore a headband in India. If someone
hold on. All right. Well, Alan Border, can you imagine Alan Border?
I think he did as well. I think Alan Border wore a headband.
Right. Well, I'm just thinking, Caribbean. We can't have a captain of our national cricket team wearing a headband.
I reckon you're going to find that both of them, Steve Waugh might have been the last headband less.
Well, if that is correct, if you can find those photos, can you please tweet them at Triple M Brisbane?
Tubby There's Taylor. Even if it's just doing a air conditioning ad with a headband, I'll take that.
There's an image I've got in my head of him sweating, and men of a certain body shape, they sometimes sweat from the gut so that the gut is sort of pressed against their shirt and the front of their gut is sweating so it goes see-through.
Yes.
And then there's like a little tent in their non...
Yeah, like when Manu's teddy connects to Pete Evans. You check out that ad.
Yes.
Manu's packed it on, and that was before Christmas. I reckon they would have shot that ad.
Listen, Manu, mate.
Listen, I didn't want to talk about this. What I want to talk about was Alan Border Field yesterday. That's where you and I should have been. There was a spin clinic going on. They had Monty Panesar, Stephen O'Keefe, some other bloke, and they had a specially set up Indian pitch.
I love it.
And they were throwing dirt on it and just spinning it, Matt Renshaw. Oh. What a day. That's better than any movie that's coming out.
If I'd known, you know perfectly well, I would have been down there. But you've left out the best bit. How long was Matt Renshaw down there for?
All day. He just batted and batted and batted. It was a marathon. He's probably still there, Matt. If anyone's driving past Albion. All right. What I really wanted to talk about was Stephen O'Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
He's realistic. Listen to this.
And spin is sexy again. And that's what I have to say as a 4'2" male with receding hairline and shocking teeth.
That's Stephen. And he'll still, if he was single, he'd still get sex in India. Because they love spinners over there. And he knows he's going to.
Which is why Shane Warne called his underwear spinners, remember?
That's right.
Now a bit of a different looking show on Monday, gentlemen, because Robin Bailey is joining us.
Oh, this is the last time we're together, just us.
This is the last time we'll be. Yes, that's right. That we'll be doing this, just us three. And I think it's a good news story because, quite honestly, you two need to clean up your act. Like Marto, I'm a pretty ordinary bloke, and people always say that. You're just an ordinary guy, an ordinary bloke. But you are genuinely, you're a very strange individual, Marto. Let's not forget that.
Where's this coming from?
How dare you? The second last day of last year, your undies ended up in the bin. You're not going to be able to do that anymore.
That did actually happen. That's not even a joke.
Why did I put them in the bin
They had
day?
Too many holes in them. Oh,
the elastic was going, and
so
it's better just to be
on the
free
way
rather
home.
Than trying to retuck all day.
Happening. Yeah. Rather than throw them in like a big bin in the office, you just put them in the bin inside the studio for the next people to find. So
shirts
that was nice. You're not allowed to do that anymore.
Shirts on at all times.
Yeah, you're not allowed to. You're probably not going to be allowed to play your favourite sound effect anymore.
That's gone.
Oh, Mariah Carey when they got loose that day. Yeah,
that's right.
None of that, eh?
How do you think Robin's going to go with our friend Donna?
How you going, sweetie? Happy Friday.
I think that's famously. Right. I think they'll be lunching by next Wednesday.
I reckon they'll be absolutely right. No, it's a great chance for you two to clean up your act, mate. There's a lot of outfits.
Hey, just come on yourself.
No fish pie. No fish pie in the studio anymore, thanks.
Sardines on toast.
Yeah, no sardines on toast. You can't roll on that ball like a weirdo so everyone can see up your shorts. Salespeople have been complaining about that. Yeah. That's weird. You have to
stop
that.
I'm just trying to think of anything you do wrong.
I keep telling you, mate. I'm just an ordinary bloke. Yeah. I'm just an ordinary bloke.
Brendan, what does he do wrong?
No, he doesn't do anything, mate. Most of the weird stuff that goes on in the studio is you.
Well, we'll have to clean all that up.
Yes, please.
But listen, we've been hanging out with Robin a fair bit off air, actually. We've been seeing a lot, and we're genuinely excited, mate. This is going to be a great thing for us, and a great thing for Triple M, and a great thing for the show. We're really excited. We've been getting along great. Remember when you and I first met, and then we were going to be working together? And we worked out we were born on the same day. And for some reason, we both just decided, then we're going to get along.
Yet we have nothing in common.
Yeah. No, nothing.
I drink like a fish. Yeah. And you don't.
No.
And you're healthy and I'm not. We don't have anything in common. Thank God Robin's coming along.
We could do this all day. But
Play the odd couple music as we go out, please.
We are genuinely excited to have Robin. It's a new show. It's a new show starting on Monday. So it's going to be great. And we hope everyone can get on board and get involved. Cause it's going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Also, a bit of rain about this weekend. Marto at Triple M Brisbane. And Marto's rain gauge on Twitter. We're going to have the rain gauge
up and about. Get some photos of it. Can we put photos of the rain gauge on the rain gauge Twitter page? Can you do photos on Twitter?
Yes, you can.
That might be the best thing that Robin does. Right. We might have some better ideas.
Yeah.
We could actually up our game rather than just having pictures of rain gauges on Twitter.
Mate, the rain gauge tweets back.
That wasn't my idea. That was your idea.
All right, Robin Bailey joins us on Monday.
Could stop the fight, so.
Let's get him out for one last time, shall we?
Please. Oh, Mariah.
Mariah. Come on, Triple M.